Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, December 24th, 2012. I'm Sam Minter. I have Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
It's Christmas Eve.
No, well, is it already?
Well, UTC, it is the 24th.
Yeah,
it is Christmas Eve.
It is Christmas Eve. Oh, man, I'm exhausted. Oh, jeez.
Long week, Yvonne?
No, well, yeah, in all sorts of things. I mean, aside from work being like, you know, normally these weeks are like slow at work. I happen to actually had closed a major deal, like signed it about a week ago. And I don't know, it's like, it's a project, so there's kickoff meetings and all this stuff and whatever. And then I crammed, I don't know how many other customer meetings, all in the middle. I mean, I had lunch. I was like Wednesday, for example. I got home like at 10 o'clock. I mean, I got home like really late a lot of days. Friday, what the hell did we do Friday? Friday we went to be in my mother-in-law's because my mother-in-law unfortunately is having to leave to Bogota because my wife's grandpa is very ill. Okay. They actually discovered cancer late stage very recently. Okay. He is in his 80s. They don't think he's going to last very much longer. This is just totally unexpected. The guy had always been in pretty good shape. So she had to go. And so what we did is celebrate Christmas early on Friday and then come home. But that meant that I got home like past 1 in the morning or something. And the baby didn't want to go to sleep until like 2:30. And I was just like exhausted from the whole day.
Yeah.
And then, then yesterday we, for a month, I actually, three of my ex-colleagues from HB that we've known each other for over 10 years, one of them was having a dinner at his house. So we all went out over to dinner at his place, which was great to get together with like some of my old friends. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we were shooting the shit and talking until so late. I mean, we didn't get home until well past 1 in the morning, okay? So, oh my, you know, oh God. So I'm like, right now, I am just like
wiped out. I hear you. Last night, the little guy you can hear in the background, we went on a train ride thing for him. Yeah, and you see him giggling. But
he's having a great time.
He's messing around in some boxes right now elsewhere in the room, and mommy's trying to convince him to go somewhere else in the house, but he's not buying it. Anyway, we went on a thing that was a two hour drive away, and then it was a 2 hour thing, and then a 2 hour drive back, and blah blah blah. And he felt, and we actually got back not that late. We got back at like, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock, or I think by 10. We got home by 10 because we stopped somewhere and ate as well. But like, he fell asleep around 7,
mm-hmm.
which meant that he woke up around midnight.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Raring to go.
He's all fired up.
He's all fired up. He's ready for his next day, you know.
<That's>...
Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
So I actually managed to get to sleep around 2, but reports from the wife are that she didn't get to sleep until he completely was ready to go to sleep again around 5 in the morning. So.
Oh, man.
And then, of course, we had a full day today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. And so I slept with him last night, but I was like, this morning, I was like, well, I've been taking care of him every morning for like, I don't know, the whole week. So I was like, honey, I'm sorry, but you got to take care of him this morning. I'm just not waking up at 6:30 in the morning. I mean, I've been taking care of him every friggin' morning, you know, so she had to do it today. So she's exhausted. Okay. So we're like, I mean, tomorrow, like, my brother-in-law just said, oh, why don't you go over to the house for Christmas Eve? And we're like, no.
Anyway,
I'm just, I mean, I would love to spend, I said, we're going to go over there Christmas Day. But, I mean, trying to do Christmas Eve, too, like, right now, no.
Yeah. And, this guy figured out earlier today while we were out and his sister was taking care of him, he like figured out he started to open a present from under the tree.
Oh.
And he sees what it is and he gets all excited and he's jumping up and down and he's freaking out because like it's something he wanted And then his sister's like, no, you gotta put it away. We don't do this till Christmas.
That's right.
And because, you know, and I was tempted, you know, oh, he's excited to give it to him. But, you know, if you did, then that means he can just open all the rest. So, right. So anyway, fun. Now, no one else here cares about you and I and our parenting adventures. So,
I've got we've gotten some good feedback from that occasionally.
Anyway, it'll be an exciting holiday for everybody. And you know, of course, some people have already had their holiday. Some people don't have a holiday. Whatever, you know what I mean. Anyway. But we do have a couple real things to talk about. Maybe, you know, I honestly, I'll tell you where I was, like the, in terms of agenda, like usually we come and both Yvonne and I have like a list of topics we want to talk about. Yvonne came, he had one thing he wanted to talk about, the collapse of the fiscal cliff. I came with absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you what, like the last 48 hours or so, like my normal routine, whenever I have a spare moment, I'm looking at Twitter, I'm looking at Google News, I'm reading like news stories about this or
so
that.
So am I. I'll grab like, since I told Sam, so I'll get the Sunday New York Times, right? And I'll brief, you know, pick up some stuff and whatever, whatnot, read through Barron's or something, whatever. I haven't read shit.
Yeah, the last 48 hours, I mean, every once in a while I've picked up, you know, my phone or whatever to do some of this reading. And like, I'm like, I don't want to do this right now. Every time it's like, oh, there's another fucking article on the fiscal cliff, or no, there's something else on gun control. And I'm like, I really don't want to. And so I've just like, I read some in a book I'm reading, and I've done some other crap, but like, I haven't had it in me. I even like, there was a gun control thing. Somebody posted an article with some interesting stats, and I immediately had some thoughts of some other stats that might give some more insight into it. And I'm like, ooh, I could do that. I could pull that information. I could make some graphs. I could do a post. I could do whatever. And then I'm like, or I could turn on the TV and watch something stupid for an hour.
Right.
And that sounds wonderful to me.
I come with you on that.
You know, so anyway, but I guess we will talk about the fiscal cliff for a while, and then we'll figure out if there's anything else to talk about. Last week I teased a little bit that I'm testing a whole bunch of map programs on my phone. I guess I could talk about that some. I've got some preliminary thoughts, but let's start with fiscal cliff. On our last episode, when you tuned in here, we said, hey, things were looking pretty good. You know, that looks like they've gotten to a point where they're actually negotiating and they're splitting the difference on numbers of various sorts, and it looks like a deal might be able to happen, and then it all fell to shit.
Well, it all fell to shit because it just simply appears that, I mean, Bonner didn't have any of the support that somehow he was deluded into believing he had.
And remember, I think when we talked about it this last week, I mentioned, you know, if Bonner can even bring a deal to the table, because this is exactly what happened the last time we had one of these sets of negotiations.
Right.
And I think we did mention this last time. You know, the way you're going to get something here is not all the Republicans voting on something. It's going to be the Democrats plus a few Republicans. That's what a deal looks like. A deal doesn't look like all the Republicans agreeing to something, because you've got a core group of Tea Party Republicans who just aren't going to go along with anything.
But it seemed he was even bigger than that. I mean, I think that what you've got is almost everybody who is at any point that is nowhere like, because moderate Republican, okay, which remember that's an endangered species.
It, yeah, barely exists anymore.
Yeah,
By the way, the moderate Democrats also barely exist these days. The pattern has been towards polarization.
They're more polarized, yes, but okay. My point is that I mean nobody outside. I mean. None of those people were going to vote for anything that involved anything resembling a compromise.
Right.
Period. I mean, the one thing that shocked me is what Bonner was doing was putting on the table a deal, okay, that he wanted them to vote to show that supposedly that Obama wouldn't budge one item. So he was willing to give a lip.
Yeah, so let's do some background here just to get it out there.
Right.
Bonner and Obama were doing some negotiations. They'd both moved a little bit closer to each other.
Right.
General word is Obama had actually moved further than Bonnier had moved. But they hadn't come to a deal yet.
Right.
But it looked like they were both moving in a direction where something might be possible. Then Bonnier put this plan B on the table.
Right.
Which was basically just, let's keep the tax cuts for everybody under, what was the magic number this time? 700?
$1 million.
$1 million. And we'll let the taxes go up for over a million. And that was the big Bonnier concession there.
Which is quite a tiny concession. I mean, you know, I mean, in terms of like people, I mean, let's face it, you're talking, Obama was at the table at 250,000. He's basically wanting to put at $1 million, which, I mean, I guess you're raising taxes on some people, but it's a, I mean, it's quite a small percentage of the population. Okay.
And meanwhile, and basically this deal was, correct me, because I, like I said, I was sort of tuning out, but like that's basically all it did. And it takes the major cuts off the table on the defense side, but leaves them in place on domestic. Was that the deal or?
Well, that's the thing. I don't recall because I pulled.
Or that, nothing.
That deal did anything regarding cuts. Side.
Okay.
It seemed like to me like a revenue deal. Now, I could be very wrong, but I kept trying to read and trying to find where are the cuts on this deal? I couldn't see anything, okay? I think that it's that plan B was just simply in order to I think what it did, what I understood from plan B was this was just a stopgap right now to just get past the end of the year. We do this little tax increase on these people, and everything else remains status quo, okay? Basically, none of the massive cuts that we had negotiated before happened, nothing. It's just everything. We just went
– Well, right. So in other words, it does take those cuts off the table because the current law of the land is those cuts happen.
Correct. And that just took everything else off the table, period. Okay? All right? So that was it. And – the Republicans just nobody wanted to vote for this thing, and I'm just like surprised that Bonner even.
And the Democrats remained unified, and no Democrats were going to vote for it either, because you could make an argument on the Democratic side that hey, at least it raises taxes on somebody, but for the most part,
this is so far apart from the kind of deal that we were trying that people were trying to cut.
Well, and also the basic calculus is this better or worse than just letting us go over the cliff?
And
a lot of people are like, hey, you know, going over the arguments are you know from the people saying let's just go over the cliff are getting stronger and stronger as time goes on, with the notion that you know hey look, going over the cliff isn't you know it's not like anything happens instantaneously,
right?
The tax rates change, but people's taxes aren't even due till April.
So
taxes you can change that
where up until it's April more 15th. Problematic. It's really on the spending cuts.
Well, and
even that takes a while to actually
start impacting anything. And so the notion is, after January 1st, nothing actually changes immediately, but the whole baseline that everybody's negotiating from changes dramatically. And now, for instance, you know, right now, you know, anything the Democrats propose is a tax increase. Somebody's getting their taxes increased. Right. After January 1st, it's all just a question of how much you want to cut people's taxes by.
Right.
You know, because they've already gone up. Now, of course, they'll try to make the argument that, yeah, well, you know, it's still they're about keeping the increase or whatever. But, you know, look, the bottom line is at that point, the taxes are higher and now you're trying to cut them. And at that point, the spending is gone.
Right.
So now you're trying to put it back. And it's a lot easier to put things back than it is to take them off. Yes, hi, Alex. So anyway, I've seen two takes. Like some people are... Yes, hi, Alex. Here, let me hide that window over there so you don't get all excited. Okay, I've seen two takes. Some people saying this makes it more likely that a deal will be cut, and other people saying it actually makes it less likely.
Me, Alex.
Yes, hello, Yvonne. You're Alex.
Yes, I heard that. Yes.
Baby Alex.
Yes, I know. I know your baby Alex. Yes.
Okay. Go back with mommy so Yvonne and I can keep talking. Okay. Yes. Okay. Here's mommy. We'll talk to you later. Okay. So anyway, I've heard some people saying. I've heard some people saying this actually makes a deal more likely because now everybody realizes that the form of a deal is Democrats plus a few Republicans, not all the Republicans.
Yeah.
And I've heard other people saying it makes a deal less likely because this just shows no coalition exists for a deal. Let's go off the damn cliff and then see where we are.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. But I think that you're right. I think that the bottom line is that Obama has to get together with the Senate leadership. They have to come up with something. They have to make something that goes and like that all Democrats in the House are going to vote. And they got to come up with something that a few, Republicans can wind up voting for that makes this thing pass. It's the only way to do it. There's no other way around.
Yeah, and or you just go over the damn cliff, and then I don't think that's a bad option, and I think that more and more people are thinking, to hell with it, you know, let's go over the edge, and then we'll clean up the mess.
I guess.
Obama doesn't seem to be there yet. Obama, in all his statements, he's not coming out. Bye. He's not coming out and just saying, let's go over to cliff. Because he could. He could come out tomorrow and say, I'm not playing this game. The cliff isn't that bad. We're going to go over, and then we'll fix what we need to in January. I'll see you then. But that's not what he's doing. He's still saying, we're going to take a short Christmas break. And then we'll be back, and let's get this thing done.
Yeah, I know.
And I suppose by the next time we speak, Yvonne, we'll know what happened here.
I will think so. We'll know whether they cut a deal or not.
Well, basically. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, that's the thing. The Republicans, honestly, by doing this... they're going thermonuclear on their role in politics in our country. Okay. That's, I think, what they're doing. They're pulling, because right now, a number of polls recently showed that based on Obama's handling of the situation, his approval ratings have soared, okay, the last month. Okay.
Well, and they've also soared because of re-election.
But it's a combination of both things. Okay, all right. And you go and you see, there's a USA Today Gallup poll that showed congressional job approval at 18%.
I'm surprised it's that high.
And disapproval at 76%. And these morons think that somehow, by pulling what they just did on Thursday, that they're somehow going to be able to blame the president for it. And you know what? Those numbers show you that nobody's buying that bullshit. Okay? All right? They deluded themselves through the whole election cycle that their boy was going to win. He didn't win. He didn't even come close to winning. Okay? And now they're deluding themselves into believing they've got some upper hand or mandate from everybody to do this when 76% of Americans disapprove of what they're doing.
I mean, the key here is in the negotiation, Obama's got all the cards here.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the power to make a deal on his own, but he's clearly got the upper hand in this negotiation.
Fuck yeah.
And, the talk of Bonnier losing the speakerhood has been increasing. Who knows if that'll end up happening or not. But, this is exactly the kind of, so far, he's utterly failing.
Yeah.
you know, no matter who you're thinking of his constituents, the Tea Party guys certainly don't like him. But even the moderate Republicans are like, what the hell's going on here, guy? You know, it's like, which Republicans are really going to be like, oh, yeah, he's wonderful. He's the right guy to be our leader.
I mean, this, you know what? This it's kind of hilarious. It kind of reminds me. I don't know. Like a couple of weeks ago, they had this skit on SNL that I saw the replay. I didn't watch the show, but they put it on that Obama. You know, like Obama talking that. Well, you know, and he's with Bonner on a podium saying, you know what, I gave Bonner a deal because you know what, I mean the poor guy. They pelted his car with eggs. They don't even sit with him at lunch. They call him names every day. I mean, I just figured I had to give the guy a break.
Yeah, well, and actually, I've seen that commentary on Obama gave a press conference right before he left town for the holiday, and I've seen commentary that basically said in that press conference he was still holding out his hand and giving the Republicans another chance to say, hey, okay, let's make this work. Let's figure out something that can get something done, blah, blah, blah. And he was, you know, trying to still give a scenario where Bonner can potentially claim victory. You know, Obama's take on this whole thing is, can't these guys learn to say yes? I'm giving them a whole bunch of things that they wanted.
That's right. And that's the crux of this. I mean,
whereas meanwhile, if he wanted to play this in such a way, Obama could play this in such a way where he's like, look, they're just completely intransigent. They're not doing anything. They are fucking over the country. They're holding the country hostage and it's all their fault.
Yeah.
And basically leave them out to dry. And, you know, frankly, it's mystifying to me why Obama doesn't just do that. But
I think he's actually trying. You know, remember we talked about 4 years ago.
Yep.
He's actually trying, for the love of God, to be bipartisan and to try
still,
to do something.
Yep.
We could. It's still okay. He is, but the Republicans aren't having none of it. None of it.
Nope.
Not one second.
Yep. Not even now. Not even after losing in, you know, the Senate, the House, and the presidency. They're still not, you know, making any concessions. Leave him till he makes noise.
Hey, Daddy.
Yes, hi, Alex. Anyway, so.
Mommy said you're too busy for me.
Yeah, I am too busy for you right now.
And my doggy, too.
Your dog, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me talk to Yvonne. Anyway.
No.
Oh, here comes Amy to take you. Bye. Okay. So anyway, anything else to say about this? I don't know. We'll know in a week. We'll know what's going on, or at least we'll know more.
We'll know more. I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, let's face it. Like you mentioned, I mean, this could drag on for a few more weeks.
Well, and then we've got, of course, that whole debt ceiling thing. If it's not resolved as part of a deal for here, we've got debt ceiling issues coming up again in a couple months.
That's exactly right.
And this is another one of the sticking points they have in the negotiations. Obama's been like, come on, guys, let's take this debt ceiling crap off the table. And the Republicans are no, because it's basically the only leverage they have right now.
Well, you see, here's the problem. It's not leverage. What leverage they got? It's the only leverage they got on what? On, like, destroying the country's credit? Because it's not really leverage on the president. I mean, I don't. That's the one thing.
It's the hostage-taking scenario. It's like, you know, you have to do what we want or we'll shoot the economy.
Right. So they're fucking around with a country like, you know, it's very childish, the whole thing. I mean, the way that they're playing with it is just so fucking irresponsible. I mean, you know, but they don't care. I mean, they obviously haven't cared so far. I mean, I guess what the fuck? Why would I be shocked into believing they're going to care now? I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Yvonne is mystified.
It's just utterly frustrating. I mean, you know, that they, you know, they just simply continue to just refuse to negotiate on any good faith whatsoever to try to arrive at something. I mean, even after the fucking elections just went by, you could go and like take that time period to try to arrive at a deal and do something, put something serious on the table, and it doesn't matter. The reality is they don't want to.
Although I will say, like, and this plays to exactly how this played out a year ago. You had Bonnier looking like he was moving in that direction, and then realizing that whatever he came up with that way just was not going to get the support of his own party. And so therefore he had to backtrack and put something on the table that was more radical that in the hopes that his party would support it. And in this case, they didn't anyway.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, the second Bonnier said, you know, we will raise taxes on some people. And specifically, we'll raise the rates on some people. Not even just playing around with, you know, let's eliminate loopholes or whatever.
Right, right.
But he actually conceded to the idea
of raising rates
on some high-income individuals. And the second he did that, you know, the right wing of his party just wasn't coming along. No matter what happened.
That's exactly right.
So, okay, let's take a break, and then we'll figure out if we have anything else to talk about.
Breaky, breaky.
We'll be back after this. And here we are. So I do have some thoughts on maps. I don't know if you want to hear them or whether you have something else.
Oh yes, yes, absolutely. We didn't get a chance to talk last week. I do want to gather your thoughts on that.
So the only thing that we mentioned last week was that this is way overhyped. You know, the whole Apple Maps sucks. Oh my God, Google Maps are back. Oh, amazing. It's wonderful. It's the best mapping thing ever.
I downloaded the Google Maps and I was like, at first I had no plan to download it, but so many people downloaded it that I said, well, fuck, let me download it. Let me see what the fuck the big deal is, right? So I downloaded it, right? And I put it on and I'm like, really? Can I be honest? I find that the Apple app is better than that one.
So there are a couple things here to think about. And one that I've been realizing more, you know, as I've gone through with my testing, is that there's a whole bunch of different ways to use these apps. And which one is better is probably depending on what you're doing. I mean, you and I have talked before. Like, my use of any of these map apps is almost 100% car navigation and turn-by-turn in the car.
Right.
Your use, and I think this is actually a much more common use case amongst a lot of people, is just, hey, I'm wherever. I want to find out, you know, the closest coffee shop or the closest dry cleaner or whatever.
Or whatever, yes.
And so that's like, you know, I sometimes will do that, but that's a much rarer use case for me. And so like the right app for, you know, being in a location and finding out certain businesses nearby and getting and doing like walking directions to them or public transit or whatever, that may be a completely different answer than what I get when I'm doing car navigation. And so my comments here are as a car navigator. Okay. So I'll tell you, I've been, like I said, the first week after I got my iPhone 5, I used Apple Maps exclusively. After that, I downloaded a whole bunch of apps. Some I'd used before, some I hadn't. And it's not necessarily, there may be other navigation apps that are popular as well that I didn't get. So if anybody has any suggestions that they want me to try, feel free to like write in and tell me. But I'll tell you the ones that I was using and some initial thoughts on all of them. And I'll try not to do like a whole 5 or 10 minute review on each one, because that would just be, who cares?
Oh yeah,
but Waze, Navigon, two apps by Garmin, Garmin North America and Garmin Street Pilot, Google Maps, of course, Apple Maps, Motion X GPS Drive, and that's seven, so there's one more, and MapQuest. Those were the eight that I looked at.
Okay.
So, I'll tell you right away, like, the ones other, so there are four of those that immediately rise to the top for me. So there is the built-in Apple Maps, Google Maps, Garmin North America, and Waze. Like the other four I mentioned, they're adequate, okay, maybe, whatever, but like I wouldn't bother spending much more time on them. Like I used the Motion X GPS Drive one for a long time before Garmin or Apple or any of these others had a solution, and it's perfectly adequate, okay? And let me start by saying any of these eight apps do the basic job just fine, okay? And so it's a question of the details. I guess it is the details. It's the little things that make a difference. If you're going to use it every once in a while for navigating from here to there, any one of these will probably do you just fine. Okay? If you're using it all the time for a lot of things, then the little details start making a difference. And let me, I should step back and add one thing. The big beef that all people had against Apple was not so much about its UI or its functionality or anything like this.
It was the information.
It was map accuracy. And I perfectly understand that, like, in the scenarios, I mean, the horror stories were out there of, like, whole cities, Apple Maps thinking they were hundreds of miles from where they really were. And stupid stuff like that. And if you are in an area where that is true, or you are trying to get to or from an area where that is true, obviously Apple Maps
I can see how
sucks.
That could be quite irritating, yes.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, in my personal experience with all of these apps, I mean, it's only been a couple weeks that I've been really monitoring these, but I've had one case of one of those apps, and I forget which one it was, and I don't think it was Apple Maps, telling me to make a turn that I couldn't make. Okay? And that's it. They're all pretty decent. Every once in a while, there's a little map error here and there, and you work around it, you know? And we talked about that before, you know, that happens. I do prefer, like, for instance, on Waze, there's an in-app thing. If you find a map error like that, you can push a button right there and report an error on the fly as you're going. I mean, you're not going to type in details about what the error are while you're driving, but it's a one-click.
You're not? Well, I would think you would.
Well, I might. But, you know, no. Don't type and drive. Bad. Anyway, but, you know, you can just hit a button and say there's a map error here and somebody else will investigate it later on down the line. And I like that feature. But of the four, I like the best. Here are the basic pros and cons as I see them. Apple Maps is very sparse. Like when you're doing navigation, it's very pretty in general. Apple Maps is very pretty, but there's a lot of stuff that if I'm driving down the highway and using this on a regular basis, I expect to see a bunch of stuff, a bunch of information just always there on the screen. I want to see my speed. I want to see the speed limit if available. I want to see the traffic conditions ahead. I want to always, no matter what, see on the screen what my next turn is. You know, there are a bunch of things like that. And a lot of them just aren't there all the time on the Apple map. Some of them you can get, some of them you can't. But, like, there's a lot missing. It's got the very basics, and it's solid on the basics. But I find myself always hankering for the information that's not there. And I'd say the same is actually true of Google Maps. Google Maps has, you know, obviously everybody said the actual map quality is better than Apple Maps, and its search is better. The search is significantly better. If you're trying to find the pizza place nearby or whatever, the mechanism you use for searching and finding them is actually a little bit nicer on the Google Maps, and they've got better and more complete information on that. But when it comes down to Apple actual turn-by-turn navigation, I'd say it's about the same. You know, it's organized a little bit differently, but it also always leaves me feeling like there's a little bit missing from what I'm seeing. The next one out that I'd say is also free is Waze. I've liked Waze for a long time. It's got fairly good quality maps if you're in an area that is well covered. And so this is another one of those things. It's based on OpenStreetMaps, which is community generated. A couple years ago, it still really sucked, but now it's pretty darn good in lots of places. But it is, you know, if there are the occasional errors, and like I said, you can click a button and fix it or whatnot. But there may be areas, if you're out in the middle of the country somewhere that people don't go a lot, you probably have an increased chance of there being errors there. But anywhere I go on a regular basis, it's just fine. It's just perfect. It's got a lot of information on the screen. And it's got some things that, you know, it has a lot of community things that I actually appreciate. Like, for instance, you pass a speed trap as you're going down the highway. You can click a button and report the speed trap. And for anybody else using Waze, it shows up that, hey, there's a speed trap here. If there's an accident in the road or you know, there's an obstacle that fell off somebody's truck in the road or whatever, same thing. You can report those with one or two clicks and everybody else knows it's there. So as you're driving around all the time, it's telling you, you know, warning, you know, accident in 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet or whatever it is. So it gives you a heads up of stuff coming along the road. You can see traffic congestion. You can see all those details on it. You can, if there's traffic ahead, you can sort of see, okay, not just, hey, there's traffic ahead, but you can sort of click and see, is there an accident? Is it just slow? What's going on? So it has a lot of nice information and those kinds of things and good directions. And I've also said, hey, it's also got the fun little thing that, you know, I don't really care that much about, but it's still kind of fun where, you know, you sort of get points by driving and you can connect to your Facebook friends and see who's got more points and stuff like that. You get points by, especially like, by driving on roads that aren't driven on very often, you get points for that. You get points for reporting traffic conditions and things like that. So it has things to sort of encourage you to participate. And it's kind of fun to look at that and see, you know, what your Facebook friends who are also using the app do. And that's kind of cool. It's not like a must-have feature for me, but it's kind of interesting. And frankly, I'd say of all the free apps, if I could only have one free app for navigation, there's no question it would be Waze. I would give up Apple Maps. I could give up Google Maps. They're both okay. And by the way, Waze includes a Google search. So if you're searching for something, you can use a Google search or a Bing search or a Yelp search, several other kinds of searches to find stuff. So it actually gives you more variety than these than the Google app alone or the Apple app alone in terms of finding those kinds of things. And so if I had one free app, I could pick it. The only big advantage, and I don't know how big an advantage is, Apple Maps does have the advantage of direct integration with Siri and stuff. So you can click the button and say, take me home, and it does it.
Right.
And that is the single nicest thing that I found on the Apple Maps that would make me want to sometimes use it, even if these other things were true. Also, I will say, I believe both Apple and Google Maps know about things like express lanes, and Waze is not very good at that. So like I mentioned in last week's show that Apple Maps found me a new route to work that took better advantage of the express lanes that Waze had never found me. And so that is an advantage there. But if I had to pick one free app on balance, it would still be Waze. But if you're willing to spend money, the Garmin app blows them all out of the water.
Really? I thought you had said like before when a while ago launched, that the Garmin app
when the Garmin app
sucked.
First, it did. When the Garmin app first launched, they launched it prematurely. It was buggy, it had issues, it was feature poor. It had some of the basics, but a lot of things just weren't working right. There were some issues there. And it may have been aggravated. I think I mentioned on a later show as well, like, my phone at that time was having some issues with location generally. So that affected the Garmin app plus any other apps as well. But even so, when it first launched, the Garmin app was eh, and some of these others were still better. But they've been improving it continuously in the 2 years or so since I said that on this show. And at this point, it's definitely the best one out there. It's got the best display in terms of the information that's there all the time. It's got some things to customize that. So if you want time left to destination instead of estimated time of arrival, you can switch that back and forth. There are a number of things you can customize on the screen like that. It has lane assist so that it's when you're coming up on an intersection, it'll not just say turn left, but if you have to be in either one of the left two lanes as opposed to the far left lane or whatever, it'll show that on the screen. On tricky exits and intersections in major metropolitan areas, it'll actually have it's not an actual picture, but it's a graphical representation of what the intersection looks like, with an arrow showing you where you should go. That can be very helpful. It has the traffic, and the traffic shows up on the main screen. Unlike the Google and Apple, where the traffic is available. Unlike Apple, I'm not sure about Google, where the traffic is there, but it doesn't show up on the navigation screens. Here it does. Also, it can do things like multi-destination routing. Where you can say, I want to go to this place, then this place,
and then this place, and this place. Okay.
Yeah. So you can do that. And just generally, it looks nicer. It seems to have better. It's hard to say better, worse directions, but it's never done me wrong. And also, I mentioned there are two Garmin apps, and also I mentioned Navigon, which is also owned by Garmin. But there's Garmin North America and Garmin Street Pilot. And what the difference is Garmin North America is more expensive and actually downloads all the maps to your device.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
And so
that is one of the annoying things I find a lot about these mapping apps.
Yeah.
That you can be in places where the coverage is not that great, it's frickin' slow, pain in the neck, and you're waiting for damn maps to download, and you're like, son of a bitch,
And I'll tell you, you can hear people say, okay, well, I'm not going out to the middle of Montana somewhere. I'm in a major metropolitan area. That's not going to be an issue for you.
Bullshit.
I live in the Seattle metropolitan area, and even in these last 2 weeks, I've encountered this on a regular basis, and where I've been trying to use one of these other apps, and it's not doing shit because it can't get a network signal. And I end up saying...
Or maybe it is getting a network signal, but, there's too many people on. It's clogged.
Or maybe. But I'll tell you, here's a couple scenarios right here that happen to me every day. One is I'm leaving my driveway at home. I'm still close enough to my Wi-Fi in the house that my phone thinks it has a Wi-Fi signal.
Oh, gosh, I get that same damn problem.
But
ugh,
it's not a good enough Wi-Fi signal for it to reliably get a connection, so it tries and it fails. Now, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like, where my car is parked is right on the edge of getting a good signal from my house. And probably if I moved my base station in the house, I could fix this. But the problem is I shouldn't have to think about it. And the second is when I leave work every day, I start in an underground parking garage where there's no signal of any sort, not cell, not Wi-Fi, not nothing until I get outside. And so what I want to be able to do is set...
Well, you want to set the address before you go, right?
Instead of waiting till I pull out onto the street and trying to do it as I'm driving the first block.
That's annoying. That's fucking annoying. I agree with you.
And so this is the big advantage right here of the Garmin North America app, and there are others, by the way, that I didn't review and try out. Like Navigon also lets you download maps, I believe, and some of these others cache maps as well, and can do a little bit without a signal. So it's not all or nothing, but I mean, in Garmin North America, I never have to think about it. I've got the entire country. I think I've got Canada too. I might even have Mexico. I don't know, but I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about driving somewhere where I don't have a signal and all of a sudden I'm lost.
Right.
You know, And so if I could, you know, like I said, if I could only pick one free app, it would be the Waze app. If I'm willing to spend a few bucks, and it's cheaper than a standalone navigation app, but it's not, you know, let me look up the price right now. Garmin USA is $38. I think Garmin North America adds Canada and Mexico for a few more bucks on top of that. And then their in-app purchases for traffic and other stuff. So in the end, you're probably paying, you know, $60-$70 for a complete full solution. So for people who are used to free apps, that's a pretty hefty sticker shock, you know? So again, if you want a free app, any of these others are adequate. Waze is the best of the free apps. If you really care about Siri integration, Apple's best. If you really care about finding, you know, all your local points of interest on a really well, then, you know, maybe Google Maps is for you. But if you're willing to spend a few bucks and you're using the navigation all the time and you rely on it for routing around traffic and finding you places that you've never been before and going to other places, get the Garmin app. And get the Garmin North America app that's all on your phone, not the Garmin Street Pilot that's also pulling it from the cloud. And that's where to go.
Okay. All right.
That's my thought. And I'm still going to spend a little bit more time rotating between the eight. But after just a week, I'm already there. Like, I already get to the point, like, if MapQuest comes up when I roll my random die to see which one I'm doing, I'm like, oh, my God. I don't want to use that piece of shit. You know, and it's adequate. It does the job, but it's just painful when compared to some of the others, you know? Anyway, that's that.
All right. Well,
do we want to take a break and come back with anything else, or are we done?
No, we're done. We're okay. We're spent. We're coasting on fumes to the new year.
There you go. So if anybody out there, for those of you who haven't already had your haul.
I wanted to mention one pet peeve.
Go for it.
You know, is it me? They've been rolling out all these Samsung ads lately, and they're touting this whole fucking, like, touch to share something. Touch to motherfucking phones.
Where you, like,
phones.
Tap the phones together or something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but is it me? Or is there just something backwards about that? I mean, I'm sorry, if you're over there, why do I want to walk all the way over to you to share something? Why the fuck do I just not click a button and send it over the fucking network?
So now, I can definitely see what you're saying, but what if you're already sitting next to each other at a table?
Okay, but even still, why is it that I have to make the two things, like, touch each other if... Okay,
I guess
if I know
it's
you're Sam
easier?
Right there...
I mean, my question is, is it less steps? Does it, like, somehow auto-configure so that once they touch each other, it goes zoop and it figures everything else out? Or do you still have to confirm
that it's
the right
person?
That's
what they're pushing on the TV ads, I guess.
And then can somebody just steal your stuff by running up to you and tapping your phone?
Well, that's one thing that I kept thinking about. Yeah,
I presume you have to set it up into some sort of sharing mode to do it.
I am guessing that you do. But the point is that I'm like, you know, we've kind of established the internet and everything in order to be able to touch, you know, in order to share stuff without actually having to, like, you know, use a, like, a USB stick or something or whatever and send it to other people. But yet Samsung is touting the feature that actually I can share something by actually not using that, but you have to actually walk to the... I don't know. There's something just... I find the whole thing just... There's something, like, reverse wrong here or something. They tout it like, oh, look how cool. And I'm like, yeah, I just... you know, and it's like, really? They show this lady, right? And she shared a video with her husband as she's getting on the taxi cab and leaving, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, you could have just sent him the video as he's driving down onto the phone. I don't really see the fucking...
Yvonne, you know the truth here is you're just like, when you think of this and you're like, don't fucking touch me, man.
I guess. I'm like, really?
Keep you want to send me something? I don't want to touch
you. Send it to me. No need to fucking touch me. I'm like, find this whole thing. I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, that was just my little pet peeve about the whole thing. I see somebody. I mean, it's like somebody like all of a sudden. I guess we figure out. So we've got the. You know how we don't. I have a smart tag, so I don't have to pay for the toll, mm-hmm. right? So I can just drive through it. And somebody touting how I can like stop and like use my phone and touch a pad over there to pay for the toll. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, why? I figured out a way that I don't have to do that. I can just drive through. And now you're telling me, you're trying to sell me on how cool it's a feature for me to actually have to fucking like go and physically touch it in order to pay it? I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay? I really don't get it. I don't get it. Okay? That's just my point.
I don't think it's for you.
We can pick this up next week. All right, because I'm exhausted. I'm done.
The only thing I was going to say is, of course, happy holidays to everybody, regardless of which holiday you celebrate.
Absolutely,
or if you
happy
don't
holidays
celebrate
to
any,
everybody.
Have a happy season anyway. And then the other important thing to mention next week, and this means homework for you and I, Yvonne.
I got to remember that.
Next week is our
show. We have
show
to do our right.
Where
okay,
we
good
are
point.
Reviewing
all right.
We were reviewing the predictions we made 1 year ago the first two shows of January last year. One was a review and one was predictions.
Right.
We will be reviewing the predictions we made for 2012 to see how we did.
All right. Sounds
and
good.
I only remember
that's
a couple
fun
of those
show.
Predictions.
Last
and,
year we did it. That was fun. I did the homework. This should be a fun show. Okay.
Yeah, this will be a fun show. And then the week after, we'll make new predictions for 2013. So everybody, you have good, exciting stuff to tune into the next couple weeks. Goodbye. Email me at abelsmade@abelsmade.com with any questions, comments, all that stuff. In the meantime, tell your friends about us and have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.